Hey everyone, welcome back to the Law of Attraction Secrets podcast. I'm your host, Natasha Graziano. And today in the studio, we have the most amazing plastic surgeon. He's not only my plastic surgeon who has done the work recently. I'm so excited to share with you. He is a top celebrity plastic surgeon, a transgender plastic surgeon. He does it for nonprofit. He does it for men and women and unicorns, everything in between. It is so exciting. Welcome to the show, Dr. Rogers.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
I'm so happy to have you here. I've been so excited. And thank you for wearing your scrubs, because I think it's super, like, I know you dress so nice in your like normal time, but it's really like, I love to see a doctor, like, you're fresh out of your, you know, you're fresh out of operating.
Oh, I mean, I'm working all the time. Unfortunately, that's the life of a doctor. We're always working.
Wow.
But at least these are comfortable. It's kind of like wearing pajamas, you know?
Totally. Oh my God. Totally. No, I love it. And your clinic is phenomenal.
Thank you.
Absolutely love it. Let's go straight to the like crazy questions and then we'll talk about my surgery in a bit and all of that stuff. Cause people are like, wait, what did you do? So first of all, what is the craziest surgery you've ever done?
Oh my gosh. You know, I get asked this a lot and it's difficult because we do all kinds of surgeries. I mean, all kinds. So, but back in residency, we did things that I think most people would consider crazy, like reconstructive type things where, I mean, horrible accidents where people's arms are like literally ripped off and we have to try to put them back on. I mean, I guess that's considered crazy, right?
Have you ever seen a hand separate to a body?
Well, I mean, yeah, we've created that situation if we had to. We had one patient who was in a car accident and her arm was completely destroyed. But, and she had issues with her head too, like literally her cranium was like destroyed. So we couldn't really save her arm. So we used the hand and the bones in the hand to use as bone graft for the skull, which,
God.
Yeah. And that was, it's creative. You know, you kind of have to solve a problem.
Creative. See, that's what I love about you. Cause when I met you and we were talking about everything, you really went into detail in like, you've created surgeries. Like you've, for example, let's talk about the one you invented, this one.
Yeah.
And then you do the rib one too. Very interesting.
All right. So clavicle shortening. So that's something that I developed. Actually, I envisioned it way back in residency, but started doing it probably about almost 10 years ago.
Wow.
So it's the lengthening or shortening of your clavicle. So originally, so your collarbone. So what's the point? The point is if your shoulders are a little bit on the narrow side, if you lengthen them, it makes your shoulders wider. If you feel your shoulders are too wide, you can shorten it and make your shoulders literally narrower.
So transgender patients would love that either way.
Yeah.
Becoming a man or becoming a woman.
It's particularly popular with the male to female because, you know, a lot of men are broad. And then it's a source of dysphoria for them because they feel too masculine. And so when you narrow the shoulders, they fit the proportions better and it makes them happier.
Wild. And like the rib thing, you can take out ribs.
So back in the day, taking ribs out was kind of a thing. And you've probably heard like supposedly certain celebrities had it done. No idea if it's true or not. But nowadays, we don't actually remove them anymore. What we do is we infracture them. We actually cut it a little bit and we break it. And then we kind of cinch everything in. You wear like a binder, like a waist trainer.
Right.
And it holds your ribs in a new position and everything heals that way. And you permanently have a narrower waist.
So bones can essentially grow into a new position.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You actually change the angle and it'll heal in that new position permanently.
Uh-huh. But how do the, like, I don't know what's inside bone, but how do the bits inside the bones grow together?
So the bone, you have a cortex. So you have like the outside part, which is hard.
Right.
And then the inside, you have, it's like cancellous bone or marrow sometimes.
Right.
So it's softer.
Like marrow.
Yes.
Not of humans, but.
It's the same stuff.
Oh my God.
But when you break the outside is where all the strength is. So you have to cut it and you can break it. And then all that heals just like any other broken bone.
Whoa. So you actually do a lot of bone work in surgery.
So I do. I mean, I didn't start out that way. I started out doing, you know, reconstructive plastic surgery in mostly soft tissue. But we learn about bones and we have to move bones. Like we talked about that finger thing with the head, right?
Yeah.
We do reconstructive things where you have to reconstruct a jaw and you have to take a piece of bone from the leg, for instance. So we do a lot of bone work. But in the world of cosmetic surgery, which I think is what most people think about, we do less. But it's changing. I mean, nowadays, more and more people want their faces changed.
Yeah.
So it's not just, I want to look younger. I want to look different.
Do you ever get people who come in and they're like, I want to look like Kim Kardashian?
Yes.
I get that's probably a lot. Or like they bring you a photo of a celebrity
yes.
who is completely different to them, race, look, age, and yeah. they're like, make me look like this.
Yeah.
What do you do? I mean, I showed you a pretty crazy picture as well, so I'm pretty guilty of that. But like, she was a different race. Yeah. She was a different age. In fact, no, I think we're about the same age, at least that in common.
Yeah.
But like, what do you do when they come in with these crazy pictures and like, make me look like my filter or this celebrity?
Yeah. That actually happens a lot these days. I remember when that first started, when filter first came out and people were coming in and say, can I have this jawbone? I'm like, no. I mean, we can, if you want, we can carve away some of your jaw, which we do now.
Right.
But that's part of what made all this more popular, like really modifying someone's face. But, you know, sometimes it's outlandish. I mean, it's impossible.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just like there's no possible way. But it's still a good way to communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, you sort of get an idea of what this person's trying to go for.
Yeah.
And you can say, yeah, I can get you closer. I can kind of create this or that. But you're never going to get exactly that other thing.
Right.
I mean, what are the, I couldn't make them, even if they were close, it's hard to make someone look
identical.
Exactly. Yeah.
Because I've heard of like creepy stories where people have like morphed into looking like somebody else. They've had like 4 or 5 facelifts, surgeries.
We've had patients like that.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's like, that's normal, sweet.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
I wouldn't say it's normal, but it's not that uncommon.
Really?
We have patients who want to look like celebrities, and they've had multiple surgeries to get as close as humanly possible.
And you they do get pretty good.
Yeah, they can get pretty close. I mean, it's not the rule. It's the exception.
Right.
But these people do exist. Yes.
This is crazy. And what's the most asked for surgery that you get?
Hmm.
But I guess you are also one of those people who's like particularly artistic on the face, amazing at the body. So you have, you know, some surgeon are like the rhino guy or somebody is like the boob guy, whereas you get asked for a lot. I know that.
So. Right. Yeah. I don't have my one little niche and I like it that way.
Yes.
I would be. I'm
bored.
Very.
Just doing a nose all day.
Yeah, I need variety. I need to be able to think outside of the box.
And you definitely do.
If you do the same thing every day, it's hard to think out of the box. It's just, it's the same thing.
Yes.
So, and when you do different things, there's crossover. You learn one thing, and even if you don't think there's crossover, there is. There's information and something you learn from doing it this way that you didn't realize now applies to something totally unrelated.
Right.
And it does happen. So what do people ask for? Well, the clavicle thing has become very popular just because nobody else does it. I think one other guy in the U.S. does it.
Wow.
And he copied me.
Yeah.
So that's
exactly.
Okay.
So it's your thing.
Yeah, well, you know.
People come to learn from you for that sort of thing?
I've had a couple people call and ask.
Yeah.
But I haven't actually technically trained anybody except for my junior associate.
Because it's such a kind of out there thing to do.
Yeah, but it's straightforward and it's not like, it's not risky. It's actually a very safe surgery to do. So, but it is definitely out there for plastic surgery. It's more of an orthopedic type thing.
Okay, let's talk about your favorite surgeries. What are your favorite things to do and why?
I like surgeries that have a little bit of a challenge.
Really?
Yeah. And I know a lot of surgeons aren't like that. They like things that are just easy. You know, they don't want to have to work too hard. I think human beings tend to be that way.
Yeah, but comfort is the enemy of growth. And I know that you really know that because you know, you see it as like you don't want to be in your comfort zone. I personally would love to stay in my comfort zone all the time, but I think I live in the discomfort most of the time. No. But that's where you grow from.
Yeah, you have to. But for me, it's fun. It is that's what is exciting about life in general, about what I get to do. So what was the question again?
Your favorite surgery.
Okay. Oh, so my favorite surgery. So my favorite surgeries are honestly the ones that put me a little bit out of my comfort zone.
Yes.
Such as, let's see. I mean, honestly, anything could be. Rhinoplasties are good that way. I'm not going to say they put me out of my comfort zone, but rhinoplasties are potentially more difficult because a millimeter matters. And then the way people heal varies greatly. So sometimes people heal in a funny way and then in a way you didn't expect. And then you have to go back and you have to fix it. And your work is on display. Mm-hmm. Everybody sees it.
I know.
So the consequences are high. There's a lot of, you know, so I guess I like the stress of it all, huh?
Yeah, you do. But you do great noses,
yeah.
Like amazing noses, which is so exciting. So recently we did, which was so, I mean, I was really like studying, who am I going to go to for my BBL? Like, I went to so many different surgeons to like have, not so many, but the top, you know, yeah. top echelon. There's only a few of you in that top box. Mm. So I was like, I'm going to really decide who, you know, and someone said, oh, this is the BBL, go to him. And then you go there and you're like, doesn't feel like it's for me. When I met you, I was like, no, this is it. Like, yeah. I knew, I was like, yes, this is the surgeon for me. And everyone who I've introduced feels that way about you. They're like, very, he's so kind, he's like great at what he does, etc. And they look at your work online and they're like, wow, he seems like the one. The reason I love what you did, and I mean, I'm 1 month out now, which is so great, so I can like stand and show you guys in a suit. So we did lipo fat transfer.
Yep.
We did liposuction under the chin. We took the fat. Lipo fat transfer, basically, guys, is where you take the fat. So I had a baby a few months back and I decided I lost all the weight, but I lost my butt. And when I lost my butt, I wanted my butt back. And I didn't have time to go to the gym every day. And I also didn't want a muscle butt. I wanted a really nice butt where I could build on it with muscle.
Mm-hmm.
So we took the fat out. So I put more weight on, sucked it out, put it in the sides a little bit, and then the butt. Now, here's the extra thing, so that you make sure, in my eyes, it doesn't go down when you lose 20% naturally.
Yes.
We added my favorite product, Renuva.
Yes.
Which I'll let you explain more about and how that is so awesome. So we did also, just to finish on like what we did lipo under my chin. We did lasers on my face. I didn't do the facelift yet, but I did everything like lasers and Morpheus. And you injected Renuva all around my eyes to anti-age me. Everyone says I literally look 12 years old. I'm obsessed with this product because it's not a filler.
Correct.
Like, I didn't want to look like the people in Hollywood who look like these like hamsters, you know, and these big cheeks. And so I don't want to look like a hamster. And I don't want to, like, I've got like food in my cheeks all day long. So therefore, you have to use a product that works with your own fat. And that's why I love the matrix of Renuva, because it's so advanced. And yeah, the price point's more, but it's the best investment you'll ever do because it actually works and lasts. And you don't have to go back in and get the filler again and look like a hamster eating food.
Yeah, I mean, it is a little bit more. But honestly, if you look at the like the value proposition, it's actually less.
Because, 100%.
Because it lasts. I mean, it lasts for years and years and years. So it's a little bit different. And this starts falling into the regenerative sort of medical world. Mm-hmm. So this is like, this is the future of medicine, regenerative medicine. So what is this stuff? What is this stuff? It's extracellular matrix, which is essentially like, it's essentially collagen from within the cells or around the cells and growth factors.
But it's real collagen. It's not like a fake product.
No, it's real. No, it's, you know, it's actually a human-based product, okay? Which sounds scary, but it means it's going to be compatible and it's going to work with you in terms of your cells. So when you inject it, you get fat growth into it, and it actually, you get your own fat cells grow around and into it. And so you have fat cells there, not some weird filler, not some foreign thing. And because of it, it moves naturally. It is you. It's not something else. And I mean, it's going to give you the kind of results you're looking for when it comes to like anti-aging, improving the quality of your tissues, all of it, which fillers can't do.
Right. And also it grows after like 3 to 6 months. You see the full effects, which I love because I already saw instantly on the day some real changes. You know, 1 week later, it was like, wow, you know, when I look at the video. But what's really cool is in 3 to 6 months, it will be even more beautiful.
Yep. Yeah.
And I love that. And you can do it awake. You don't have to do Renuva when you're asleep.
Yeah. No, you inject it just like a filler.
Right.
But it's not a filler.
Exactly. It's just so much better. And also you can do the lasers that I did while you're awake. I just wanted to do everything while I was under because it made more sense.
Yeah.
But anyway, look, we're just going to stand up so you guys can see the body. So look, this is 1 month after. So you can see I have an itty bitty face. And then I have like you can see. So I have an itty bitty waist. I'm wearing my waist trainer still because you have to wear it for 6 weeks.
But you got
to
hold the microphone.
Oh, shit. It's going to be hard. Okay, so look, you can see.
Want me to hold the microphone for you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, yeah, okay.
Okay, so look. Okay, look, so you can see. Itty bitty waist, right? Slender, and I'm wearing my faja because you have to wear it for 6 weeks after. And you can sit down. It's a myth that you can't. Yeah. And then look, you see?
Uh-huh.
And then you can see the butt. I now have a really juicy butt. And then. There you go. And I got hips. Look, can you see this like little pop? I did not have this before. And I have the diamond gap here. Can't really see because I'm wearing, maybe you can see, but in a bikini you would. But it's like a classy BBL. But it's not a BBL like, thanks so much. It's not like a BBL in the way of like those massive things, which I'm sure you do a lot of, I know.
I try not to do the really big ones.
Oh,
I don't like them. I don't like the huge, huge ones because it's disproportionate. That's not, does not happen in nature.
What was the craziest one that you had to do? Did you ever have to do something that was like two big footballs in the butt?
I try not to do those. I mean, yeah. we do buttock implants too. So
oh
that,
my God.
So I not my favorite surgery because, yeah, because you're putting one. because you're putting a big piece of silicone rubber in there. It can look good. And in cases where there's like no fat to use, you can do that. In your case, it was kind of perfect. I mean, you didn't have quite enough fat. We actually put a little Renuva just to get a little extra volume where it ran out.
Thank God for the Renuva. So yeah. For anybody who wants to have hips and a butt or wants to have more natural collagen beautiful fat on your face, if you want, that's why you would use a product like Renuva.
Yeah, and it's also great for when, as we age, we lose fat in our faces,
right?
So it's it helps with that. And nowadays everyone's on Ozempic or whatever, you know, kind of GLP-1 receptor agonist, right? Everyone's losing weight, having that face that looks sort of
gaunt,
drawn, and yeah, it's real. So this is kind of the best thing because you're actually adding some of that fat back. You're not just adding some fat.
Well, I love it because we also did my jaw.
Yeah.
And my jaw looks so good. So actually, if you guys are avid watchers of my show, if you go back to, let's go back 2 months. Whose show was it where I was sitting? I think it was with Marcus. Okay, so we had an NFL player friend of mine on the show called Marcus Williams, big NFL player. And I was sitting with him and I noticed my chin underneath this like, I don't have it now, so I can't show you, but like I look like a toad. And if you guys go back and you watch the show, I don't give a shit. You can talk about it, but now I don't have it. And that is where surgery is fantastic. Because if you've got a double chin and you are bored of having a double chin, then again, that was something that I really need to fix. For me, like I feel so comfortable with you. Like I'm excited to lift my face and I'm excited to go and do all like the next things because you know, surgery is still taboo in some ways, but the truth is, if you want something done and somebody, you say to your friend, hey, I really want to get a nose job. What do you think? And then they're going to sit and say to you, oh, sweetie, you don't need it.
Yeah.
They go to sleep that night and they sleep well because they don't think about the nose on your face. Mm-hmm. They're thinking about their unicorns and their fucking ponies and whatever else. And you go to bed thinking, I have a really big fucking nose. What do I do? Or you go to bed thinking, I really wanted to have some boobs or get a boob lift after I have my kids. And now I haven't done it. And my husband tells me I don't need it. But you know you do. And you know it will make you feel better. And you just don't do it. So you're like, why am I not? And then your friends will tell you, but you're the one who has to live with not doing it over and over. So that's why my BBL, I've wanted for 10 years. 10 years.
Well, I mean, these procedures, people say, oh, it's all for vanity, right? But vanity is not, it's just part of self-care. It's part of loving yourself and how you interact with people.
Yes.
Like how you feel interacting with people in society, all these things. Yes. It's actually very important.
Confidence.
Now, some people can take it overboard. That does happen. Or some people lose sight of what looks good.
Yeah.
So that can happen too. And you've seen those people.
Right.
So, but that's what I'm here for. I'm here to try to help those, you know, like if you come in and say, I want this, I'm like, I know that's not going to serve you. You're not going to feel more confident with that.
Right.
You know, so you need to have a plastic surgeon you feel comfortable with. You need someone who you feel understands your aesthetic.
Yes. Well, that's why you, with the jaw, for example, just going back to the product that we use, Renuva, in my jawline, I didn't want to use filler in the jaw. Mm-hmm. What was the benefit in your eyes of using Renuva in the jawline versus a filler?
Well, the volume we create in the jaw with Renuva will last. So that's going to stick around for a long time.
Oh, cool. I don't have to do it again. Thank God. I love that.
Yeah. And fillers, I mean, fillers do work. They were great in the jaw, but none of them are permanent. And the ones that are permanent, you have to be a little careful with. There's one that's FDA approved, but you don't want to use a lot of it. Small amounts, okay. And there's people inject silicone in the face. It's permanent. You do not want to.
Legally or illegally?
Well, it's technically off-label FDA for FDA use, but it is legal because it is FDA approved for use in the eye.
Okay, can we just talk about this for 1 second? Because this is a crazy topic. how are all these like random people, this is why people have fears of BBLs. How are they dying and they're going and doing like fillers and shit in the bum? It's not with surgeons, is it? They're like,
well, I mean, a little while back we had a bunch of deaths. Like when I say a bunch, I think it was a couple of dozen deaths. Mostly, sorry, Florida, mostly from Florida.
Right.
But it was, there were surgeons, but what they were doing was putting huge amounts of fat and they're putting it very, very deep. The problem was the pressure they're creating from all this fat was pushing it into like blood vessels.
Right.
Like you get a little tear in the vessel and the pressure is so high, the fat went into the blood vessel and then went to your lungs and it could kill you.
Right.
The risk
putting like 1,000 cc's
or more, 1500 per side.
Per side?
Yeah. I mean, crazy numbers. That's part of the reason I don't like doing it. Also, I just think it doesn't look good.
That's wild.
Regardless, the as far as filler goes, you can have potentially the same problem. If you try to pump the butt up with some sort of filler, it can get into the bloodstream and cause problems. So you'd want to go to someone who knows what they're doing. You want
to
use a if you're going to use a product that's not your fat, you have to make sure it's something that's safe and legal.
Yes.
You know, and silicone is one of those things that's kind of in the gray zone. If you're using it in a certain way, I still think avoid it. Avoid it at all cost. I've seen so many problems with it. I've had to do major surgeries to cut it all out. And then you're creating a bigger problem that you have to fix. Trust me, just stay away from it.
Yeah, definitely. So I get so many like girls telling me they went to like hotel rooms and had like a random practitioner injecting some kind of filler in their butt. And they come out and I'm like, your butt looks insane.
Yeah.
You could have died.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and then you hear about those ones. What are they doing?
Well, that silicone is probably not medical grade. So who knows what it is? I mean, you might be able to get a medical grade, but it's not technically sterile. I mean, there's all kinds of stuff. Again, avoid that kind of that stuff is very sketchy. These people usually are not trained medically. They're just doing it.
They don't even know where they're injecting it, really.
No clue.
So they could go below the muscle.
I mean, they can put it anywhere. You have no idea what they're putting in there.
How do you make sure you don't go that deep? Like, how do you make sure it's superficial? Is that
superficial? Right? Yeah. So you can, as a surgeon, you can tell. You get a feel for things. You can tell exactly how it feels. Literally, as you're putting the cannula through the tissue, you can feel it. Now, if you're not that confident, you can use an ultrasound to actually see exactly where you are. And there's some people I know who actually do that. But if you've been doing this for a long time, I know where the tip of my cannula is just based on how it feels.
Wow, that's insane. And do you recommend when somebody wants to have a facelift? This is one of my favorite topics because when I say to someone I want a facelift, 9 times out of 10, oh my God, what the fuck? You don't need a facelift because they think I'm going to go and look like a Barbie in Beverly Hills.
Yeah.
And I have no intention of looking like the hamsters or the like rat traps. And like, I don't know what the fuck's going on with these faces.
Yeah.
They all look the same. Like they all are these like snatched faces, but they're not snatched pretty.
Right.
They're like older women who did it too late. So I feel like what's the best age for a facelift and what is an actual facelift in today's world?
So a facelift is a general term for all kinds of surgery. So what is a facelift? I mean, technically you're lifting the face, right? Surgical lift of the face. You're making incisions somewhere and you're pulling or cutting skin out. So that's very generic. I mean, there's all different ways to do it. So as far as you wanting a facelift, what is the reason? I know a lot of people would say, well, you're obviously not old enough for a facelift, but that's not the reason you want a facelift.
So the reason that I want a facelift is because I want to freeze my age. Like I literally don't, I would have frozen it 5 years ago if I'd realized about this.
Mm-hmm.
I do not want to get older than 33. Like I'm done at this age. I want to stay there. Like that's it.
Yeah. And that's a good reason to do it. So you can do smaller procedures. And you started a little bit younger. So that's a trend that started happening probably about a decade or so ago.
Yeah.
And people were starting a little bit younger. So that works. And there are a lot of people in Hollywood that do this so that you look at them, you're like, wow, it's amazing. They haven't aged in 30 years.
Wow.
And because they're doing little things. And that stuff, it does work. But you have to be careful. I mean, you can overdo it. And just because it's a facelift doesn't mean it's going to look good.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean you're not going to cause some problems. Because anytime you operate, you have some risk. You're going to have some scar. You're going to have some potential issues. If someone is not in the right place, they can cause injury.
Mm. So, we talk about like the fox eye. Do you have like a term that you've coined for any of yours? Or do you just call it the mid? Because I like this one where this is what a lot of young girls are doing. And so this is any age from, you'll probably tell me better, but maybe like 30 to like 40 in that bracket or maybe younger.
Mm-hmm.
But like this here, you know, and like you pull the mid of the face up and it gives that really tight effect.
Anatomically speaking, we call it like a temporal mid-face lift.
Right.
So that gives you that sort of the open the eye. It kind of creates a little bit more of an upper sweep on the lateral, and the brow comes up a little. It's a nice look. Of course, you can overdo that too.
How do people, when they look overdone, is it because they've done one, two, three areas? What are they doing when they do? You know that face I'm talking about.
Yeah. So it's, well, for older people, it's pulling too tight, too many times, and then things don't look balanced anymore.
Right.
For younger people, sometimes it's just trying to get such an extreme look. It's kind of the same thing as the BBLs that are so big. You're trying to get the extreme. And anytime you're too extreme, it starts becoming noticeable that it's extreme, not that it looks good.
No, exactly. So it's really interesting because when I see faces of actresses, you wouldn't even know they've had surgery, mm-hmm. but you know they look phenomenal. Nobody knows what Lindsay Lohan's done. Maybe she didn't do it.
Right.
I don't know. And the NDA on that must be crazy. But I know she looks phenomenally better after said questionable surgery.
She does look great. Whatever she had done, I don't know what it was. Right. She looks good.
And the point is, that is how you want a facelift.
Of course.
Where people have no idea if you did 5 series of lasers like mm-hmm. I'm doing mm-hmm. or whether you actually did go and lift it. And then you see other actresses who are the same. There's one recently. She's in The Princess Diaries.
Mm-hmm.
She looks phenomenal recently.
Hmm.
Another one. I can't remember her name.
Anne Hathaway. Oh, okay.
I
have to look at her. I haven't.
Right one.
Yeah.
She, whoever's done that face, like, that is what I want to do with you.
She's always been pretty, though. She looks very good.
She's frozen her age.
Yeah. I mean, that's exactly right.
And she looks amazing. I don't know if Angelina Jolie's ever done it. I actually think she may be natural. I don't know, but.
Yeah, I don't know for sure, but she does not look like she's had a surgical lift.
Right. And that's what you want.
Yeah.
So, like, can you do that with lifting the face?
Yes.
And.
Oh, yeah. No, absolutely. So again, it depends on the technique. So for this type of a thing, typically we make little incisions way up where the hair is, so you can't see incisions. You can do a lot of it without removing skin if you're young.
Right.
So you can just kind of reposition tissues.
Can you do it without having a scar down the front of the ear? So
yes.
One of my exes came to see me, won't say which one, and I was like, God, you look really good. You haven't aged. I haven't seen him for 10 years. And he's like, I know. And I'm like, you haven't done anything to your face? He's like, nothing. Why has he got a scar all down the front of both ears? Like, that is, you've obviously, sweetheart, I love you, but you've obviously had a facelift.
Yeah.
Why would you be coy about it? He looked phenomenal. So men do look really good.
No, men can look really, really good.
Do you have to do that scar?
If you're dealing with the lower face, you really have to do something with the skin here, because when you, this it has to go somewhere. If you need to pull this, it all bunches up.
You can't do it behind the ear.
You and usually put an incision behind the ear too. You have to do something in front. It doesn't have to go in front of this part.
Where can
go? I'll show on this side. It doesn't have to go in front here. It can go behind here.
Really? In the cartilage?
Yeah, right behind. It's called the tragus. So frequently with women, we do it there. Men, you have to be a little careful because we have beards. And if the beard gets pulled too far, it can end up on the ear. You have a very hairy ear.
Oh my
God. It doesn't look great. But so you have to be careful with men. And you also don't want to pull men that tight, because having a super tight face on someone who you know is a little bit older just doesn't look right. It's incongruous. Right. Yeah.
So you can behind the ear, and it does it well. It's not too flimsy.
Oh, no. Yeah, no. This isn't holding everything up. This is just where you're hiding the incision.
Got it. So you do it into the lower ear.
Yeah, it's basically like inside.
But it doesn't hurt the ear at all?
Nope.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I'm learning so much about it. Okay, let's talk about boobs, because this is a big topic. I've done my boobs, and I had that done with my boob surgeon. And so I know that you are an absolute genius on boobs. And what's really beautiful, actually, is the nonprofit work that you do with the breast reconstruction. So let's talk about that first, because that's something that this is the Law of Attraction Secrets. It's a show around positivity and mindset. And we're going to go into a bit of that shortly. But you do something so great in the world. Like, you take time away from your practice to go to Guatemala, mm-hmm. which has a place in my heart, because that's where I built my school, the Graziano School.
Oh, wow.
600 children. That was one of my biggest achievements in life. And you go out there and you go and do breast reconstructions nonprofit.
Well, actually, in Guatemala, I actually do more cleft lips and palates.
You do?
Yeah.
What, for children?
Yes, because that's the real need down there. Breast reconstruction down there isn't as big of a thing,
right.
But the cleft lips and palates are a huge thing. I mean, these little kids that, don't get fixed and they grow up looking not normal, especially down there. That's right. They're very ostracized. In the U.S., I do some essentially pro bono breast reconstruction.
You do?
So, yeah. So there, I do breast reconstruction generally anyway.
Yeah.
But sometimes there are patients in situations where they either don't have insurance, they can't get insurance to cover something. There are unusual circumstances where that can happen,
yeah,
even in the U.S. And so we will do reconstruction for patients.
Wow. And they're usually like cancer patients or something?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Cancer. Yeah.
Wow.
So a lot of the times they'll get the breast removed or something to that effect because of cancer. And for some reason didn't get their breast reconstructed or in a position where they can't get even, because Medi-Cal will cover it. But in some cases, they're in a weird position where they're having a hard time doing that. And so we just try to make it easier for them.
Wow. And you put a whole boob on.
Yeah, you can build a whole breast.
How do you do that?
Oh, there's many different techniques, but you can take tissue from other parts and move it. You can build it with an implant. You can do it with your own fat. So like we did for you,
yeah,
we can do that. It's called serial fat grafting, where you do it a number of times and build it up until you have an entire breast.
What? Oh, that's insane. So do you do boob revisions? Do you get asked to do like primary or like which is first time round,
yeah,
or revisions? What's the most that you get asked
when? For the first 20 years of my practice, I'm just starting the second 20 years.
Oh, so interesting.
So the first 20 years of my practice, I did a lot of primaries, meaning right, I was there at the time of surgery. They took the breast off. I put the implant or the flap. And so then now I'm finding I'm doing more and more revisions.
Wow.
So people have already had it done. Things aren't quite right. They come back to me to fix it.
Or they want it bigger.
Sometimes, but usually for reconstructions, it's about making them look the same or looking them look
like
right.
They get gaps and things, and yep, they go sideways, and
for
then
the,
they
over the for the cosmetic stuff.
Oh,
yes. So there's I'm just making a distinction between recon.
Oh, okay, so there's difference.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm with you.
Yeah.
I think the breast reconstruction is amazing. The fact that you really do take care, because a lot of plastic surgeons only do cosmetic.
That's true.
So you actually do a whole other breadth of things.
Yeah. And that's partially because I love those patients. I love feeling like I'm actually helping their lives in that way. But also it's because of my need for diversity.
God, this is so good. I feel like your own podcast that you're about to now it will be out by the time this is out. It will... I'm going to link it below because anyone who wants to know all of this stuff, like you'll do a whole episode just on breast reconstruction.
Yeah.
Ours
is going to be interesting. I mean, it's going to be partially about plastic surgery, but there's plenty of plastic surgery podcasts already. So really mine is going to be a little bit about medicine, a little bit about health and wellness because we have a longevity center too.
Yeah.
And just life. I mean, I want to explore life. I want to explore people like you. Like you created something from nothing in an amazing way. How'd you do that?
Right.
I want to know.
Right. Yeah.
I think a lot of people want to know.
Yeah. Talk about it on your show. Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is what I want to talk about. I want to talk about how do you figure out what are the cheat codes in life? How do you get ahead? How do you make things
right?
Because you have to understand the steps or just get very lucky. And some people do, but most of us don't.
What was your story thinking about it? Like, how did you have an interesting break or did you go through a crazy upbringing or?
I was lucky enough to be born in America to have two parents who had good jobs and were, I had a psychiatrist MD, and a psychologist PhD.
Wow.
So they were academically minded. So they pushed me that way. So that part, I think it was luck. But a lot of it was just hard work.
Yeah, for sure.
Medicine is, you have to get grades. You have to, be able to learn the information. You have to be able to perform. You have to have the energy.
Right.
The residency.
This is what's crazy. There's so many plastic surgeons out there, but there's just not that many who are that known like you guys. You know, there's that few at the top who are everywhere. And you'll be, you'll be in a different state. You'll be in New York and say, oh, who are you going to see in Beverly Hills?
Right.
Like people fly in to see you.
That's true.
Because you're that guy who does that kind of thing. Okay, let's do a bit on mindset because you're so, you work out, obviously. You can see that. You have to be strong, I guess, with the work that you're doing because it's so detailed. Like,
I don't know if you have to be strong, but I think I'm like you. I mean,
you have one body, you have one life, you want it to be the best it can be.
Right.
And so you want to be fit, you want to be healthy.
Yeah.
You want to feel good about yourself.
Right, right. So what are the three things every day that you believe in, whether it's meditation, running, walking, being with your family, like what are the things that you really invest into you to keep you feeling the best you are? Because you are like the happiest person I know. You remind me of me. Like you're always smiling. You're always filled with life. You're just filled with that energy. And it's so great because that also came across in the work because you love what you do.
Yeah.
So that was a no-brainer for me. It was like, oh no, this is my person who's going to do the work for me. And like, it felt so good. So yeah, what would you say to that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, one of the things that I think that is like a staple in my life and belief-wise is making sure you have your priorities straight.
Yes.
So that is really, really important. I think a lot of people don't do that. They like whatever is in their front of their face is the most important thing at that moment.
Right.
And that's just not the way it needs to be. To me, you have to decide what is number one in your life, what's number two, and what's number three. And you literally go down the list. And number two never compromises number one, mm-hmm. and so forth. Okay. Mm-hmm. And once you do that, life becomes pretty simple.
Wow, I've never, ever had that explained, but it's so true.
I mean, there are moments when you like can't decide and it's not like life is going to be laid out for you, mm-hmm. but it makes those moments when you have to make hard decisions easier.
Yes, interesting. So yours would be like family or whatever those things
for are. For me, family is always first.
Yeah.
For family, number one. What I do for a living is always number two, meaning that has to be preserved and it has to be done at the highest possible level that I can achieve. Mm-hmm. And then for me, gosh, a lot of it for me is just, I have to feel like I'm innovating, creating, solving. And if I'm not doing that on a daily basis, I'm not happy. And that's just me. That's just the way my brain is wired. So I have to make sure that's always part of it.
Wow. I love that. And you are an innovator and you love being creative. Do you read?
I do. I used to read a lot more, but I don't have as much time. I listen in the car a lot.
Yeah.
So a lot of audiobooks and podcasts and things like that when I'm driving.
Wow, I love that. And I mean, you've got your own podcast coming, which I'm so excited for. We were saying before. Yeah. Is there a quote that you particularly love that you want to share with our audience today?
Oh my gosh, there's many, many quotes. One of the ones I like to live by is, I don't know if this is a quote. It's just one I found like on the line. I literally have it on my phone. Mm-hmm. Be kind always.
Oh, that's so beautiful. You see, I knew it because that's who you are as a person. By the way, these lights are reminding me of the thing that you patented. I just want to talk about that for a second because when I went after my surgery, the thing that helped me heal exponentially fast. And yes, you guys, I was back on stage with Paris Hilton speaking at an event in Beverly Hills with 1,000 people 5 days after my surgery. And what really got me through that, even though I couldn't sit down, had to do the entire thing standing, even at the tables, I was like perched on this like little block.
5 days.
Yeah, I know. I know, right? But I was like, no, you did it in such a way that I didn't have to go through a crazy like healing period. It was fantastic. So, but something that really helped was the fact that I was in your incredible recovery suite.
Yeah.
That I've never seen a state of the art that level, you know, recovery suite. It was so beautiful. Like I was in this double bedroom suite directly door down from the surgery, as in it wasn't in a building across the road. It wasn't in a car. I had to travel and then feel awful and go to a different recovery center. It was like, oh no, I was right there. I had two nurses round the clock with me, holding me, nurturing me, nursing me, bringing me food. I could go into the room opposite and go and do a hyperbaric chamber. I didn't even know hyperbarics, that like how good it is for you.
It really makes a huge difference. There's a ton of data on hyperbaric oxygen therapy, and it helps with healing. It helps with longevity stuff. It helps with wellness, helps with brain health and function. I mean, it's kind of incredible what it does. But most importantly for you, before and after surgery, it really boosts the healing process and decreases risks of certain complications that are associated with surgery. But we also have cryotherapy. We had the red light.
Oh, yeah.
So all these things have data, and all of them help with swelling. All of them help with healing. And it's all like there's real science behind it. It's not just fluff.
No, I love that. Well, the fact that you do all of that stuff, it brings in the regenerative healing aspect and like the biohacking side of it. Like you don't usually see that kind of thing combined with normal medical, you know, stuff. So that was really cool. And I did like your red light thing, which is, you know, you've designed it. It's your patent.
Yeah.
It's so cool. Like I stand inside this thing that's it's not just like the normal red light in front of you or however else. It was like a specific kind of red light in a certain way. It was so cool. I felt like I was in a photo booth thing, but like privately. And that really helped the healing as well. And then I did the lymphatic drainage massage there. She is so good. Like, she was like, I know all about the thousands of lymph nodes in the body. And I was like, holy shit, this is insane. All those points go so far with your healing, you know?
It helps. It really makes things go much faster.
Yeah, I love it.
I mean, the truth is our bodies are amazing. And I can create an injury and your body will heal it. If I do nothing, it'll heal it. But when we do these things, it just heals faster, better. It gets you back to your life much quicker. Right. You suffer less during the recovery process. I mean, all of it.
I know. No, it was so wonderful. I'm so grateful. Can children do the hyperbaric?
Absolutely.
Because my son has a surgery soon. So I'll see if maybe he can come in after to sit down. He has a non-elective surgery. Oh my God, kids.
Oh, we got Netflix in there.
Yeah, that's true. We can watch his Netflix. So sweet. Uh-huh. Oh my gosh, today's been amazing. Thank you so much for just being here and taking time to come from like, and I know you're so busy in the midst of your amazing clinic and, you know, you practice out of Beverly Hills. For anyone who's wondering, you're already sitting there like, where can I get a consultation? I'm going to put the link of Dr. Rogers' clinic below, surgery, so you can see, you can tap his Instagram, you can also like kind of dive in and do your research. And look, the truth is, whoever you choose, just make sure it's results based, so you can see things that they have done. They don't always put everything on Instagram. For example, you can ask, hey, can you show me like some others that you've done? And then you should always use somebody that you really trust and that you know somebody else has had a really great experience from. And if you need that, I'm your gal. This is the person I recommend for you. He is phenomenal at plastic surgery and reconstructive breast surgery and all the rest of it. So I'm very grateful and I love my work on my body. I am so excited that I could share you with the world. Oh, you know, I think that's so exciting. So
thank you for having me here.
Yay. Amazing. Thank you. Okay, guys, we'll see you again next week. This is the Law of Attraction Secrets and I hope you enjoyed.